Good Sunday afternoon. Hello, my name is Jim DeJunis, and I'm reading to you from the North Carolina Reading Service. The name of our program is Reflections, and for the next 30 minutes, we'll be reading the New Testament, specifically the book of Matthew. We'll also be reading from a book called Jesus Calling, and it's written by Sarah Young. It's a daily devotional. Say a little prayer at the beginning here at the end, and hopefully we'll have a verse or two to reflect upon. This program is intended for the blind and the print impaired, and we hope you enjoy the program today. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you today for this beautiful day, this day of great joy and hope. And that hope comes from the word of your Holy Son, Jesus, and the scripture that he inspired. Father, may the words spoken today be your words. May they be delivered to give you glory and honor and praise, and may they be received in that same way. Father, bless our audience this day and every day, that they may be empowered to love you more and more. We ask this in Jesus' name. So Sarah Young today reads, "Seek my face, and you will find more than you ever dreamed possible. Let me displace worry at the center of your being. I am like a supersaturated cloud, showering peace into the pool of your mind. My nature is to bless. Your nature is to receive with thanksgiving. This is a true fit, designed before the foundation of the world. Glorify me by receiving my blessings gratefully. I am the goal of all your searching. When you seek me, you will find me, and you will be satisfied. When lesser goals capture your attention, I fade into the background of your life. I am still there watching and waiting, but you function as if you are alone. Actually, my light shines on every situation you will see. Live radiantly by expanding your focus to include me in all your moments. Let nothing dampen your search for me." And this is supported by three pieces of scripture. First one is Psalm 27, verse 8. And it says, When you said, "Seek my face," my heart said to you, "Your face, Lord, I will seek." Philippians 4, verse 7 says, "Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life." And then Jeremiah 29:13 says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." That Jeremiah verse is actually a verse I read every day. I've got a book of scripture that I've written down over time, and that is one that I read and try to memorize and quote throughout my days. So thank you for joining us. We, if you recall last week, we got through Matthew chapters 12, 13, 14, and a bit of 15, and we're going to pick up with chapter 15, verse 12. And last week, our entire time was just about lessons directly from Jesus' lips. We heard about many parables. We heard about his four types of soil. We heard about the mustard seed. We heard about weeds. We also learned that Jesus taught about inner purity and outer uncleanliness, cleanliness. We heard about him miraculously feeding 5,000 men with five fish five loaves and two fish. And all this kind of points to this, and this is Jesus is the Messiah, and all the scripture points to that, the Old Testament and the New Testament. He is the fulfillment of prophecy. And the question I have for you as we begin is, where do you stand with Jesus? Do you believe that he is the Messiah, the gift of God, to give us that relationship with God? His life, his death, and his resurrection gives us God's grace, his peace, in that relationship. I hope you believe that. And I hope the readings today will help encourage that and put you in that position. So let's begin. Chapter 15, verse 21. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon, A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him crying out, "Lord, son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession." Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." "Yes, Lord," she said, "but even the dogs eat the crumbs that have fallen from the master's table." Then Jesus answered, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted," and her daughter was healed at that very hour. Now, this is a reflection for me. Can you imagine Jesus callously just ignoring a woman who's coming with great pleading for her daughter? I cannot. Now, Jesus did come initially for all, or ultimately for all, but initially it was to bring the Jewish people back into God's grace. And there was a timing thing, not an always thing. It was just a timing thing. And maybe his ignoring her initially was just that. He was there to save Israel. It could have been a situation where God was testing her and testing her faith and trying to really gauge what her faith was. And when Jesus heard her great faith and her kneeling before him and her response that it's even dogs eat the crumbs from that fall from the master's table. His response was this: "Woman, you have great faith." He didn't say you have faith. He didn't say you had good faith. He said you have great faith. Your request is granted. Wow. Is your faith that great? Is my faith that great? Man, there are days that I can't say that it is. Sure, I sure wish it was. I sure hope it will be. But we always have the opportunity to get on our knees before the Lord. We always have the opportunity to give him praise and glory and honor. It's just a matter of whether we do it or not. And we should always do that. We should begin every day and end every day with that, giving him praise, glory, and honor. Verse 29. Jesus left there and went along to the Sea of Galilee. Then he went up on a mountainside and sat down. Great crowds came to him, bringing him the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others, and laid them at his feet, and he healed them. The people were amazed when they saw that the mute speaking, the crippled made well, and the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they praised the God of Israel. Jesus called his disciples to him and said, "I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me for 3 days and have had nothing to eat. I do not want to send them away hungry, or they may collapse." His disciples answered, "Where can we get enough bread in this remote place to feed such a crowd?" "How many loaves do you have?" Jesus asked. "Seven," they replied, "and a few small fish." He told the crowd to sit down on the ground. Then he took the 7 loaves and fish, and when he had given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples, and they in turn to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. Afterward, the disciples picked up 7 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate were 4,000, besides women and children. After Jesus had sent the crowd away, he got into the boat and went to the vicinity of Magadan. Chapter 16. The Pharisees and the Sadducees came to Jesus and tested him by asking to show them a sign from heaven. He replied, "When evening comes, you say, 'It will be fair weather, for the sky is red.' And in the morning, 'Today it will be stormy, for the sky is red and overcast.' You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the sign of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation looks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given except for the sign of Jonah." Jesus then left them and went away. And if you recall, a couple chapters ago, the sign of Jonah would be Jesus dying, going into the tomb for 3 days, and then rising again, just like Jonah went to the belly of the fish for 3 days and came back. When they went across the lake, the disciples forgot to take bread. "Be careful," Jesus said to them. "Be on guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees." They discussed this among themselves and said, "Is it because we didn't bring any bread?" Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked, "You of little faith, why are you talking among yourselves about not having bread? Do you still not understand? Don't you remember the 5 loaves and the 5,000? How many basketfuls you gathered? Or the 7 loaves for the 4,000 and how many basketfuls you gathered? How is it that you don't understand that I was not talking about bread? But be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." Then they understood that he was not talking to them to guard against the yeast used in bread, but against the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosened." Then he warned his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go on to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said, "this shall never happen to you." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what he has done. I tell you the truth, some of you standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Chapter 17. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up high on a mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then, there appeared before them Moses and Elijah, talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid." When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you've seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The disciples asked him, "Why then do the teachers of the law say that Elijah must first come?" Jesus replied, "To be sure, Elijah comes and will restore all things. But I tell you, Elijah has already come, and they did not recognize him, but have done to him everything they wished. In the same way, the Son of Man is going to suffer at their hands." Then the disciples understood that he was talking to them about John the Baptist. When they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before him. "Lord, have mercy on my son," he asked. "He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire and into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him." "O unbelieving and perverse generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me." Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed from that moment. Then the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" And he replied, "Because you have so little faith. I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." When they came again to Galilee, he said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him, and on the third day he will be raised to life." And the disciples were filled with grief. After Jesus and his disciples arrived in Capernaum, the collectors of the 2 drachma tax came to Peter and asked, "Doesn't your teacher pay the temple tax?" "Yes, he does," he replied. When Peter came into the house, Jesus was the first to speak. "What do you think, Simon?" he asked. "From whom do the kings of the earth collect duty and taxes? From their own sons or from others?" Peter responded, "From others." Then the sons are exempt," Jesus said to him. "But so that we may not offend them, go to the lake and throw out your line. Take the first fish you catch, open its mouth, and you will find 4 drachma coin. Take it to them and give it to for my taxes and yours." Chapter 18. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a little child and had him stand among them. And he said, "I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me. But if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a large millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the seas." Woe to the world because of the things that cause people to sin. Such things must come, but woe to the man through whom they come. If your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life maimed or crippled than to have 2 hands or 2 feet and be thrown into the eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with 1 eye than to have 2 eyes and be thrown into the fire of hell. See to it that you look down on one of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders off, will he not leave 99 on the hills and go look for that one that wandered off? And if he finds it, I tell you the truth, he is happier about the 1 sheep than about the other 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should be lost. If your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault, just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have won your brother over. But if he will not listen, take 1 or 2 others along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of 2 or 3 witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, treat him as you would a pagan or a tax collector. I tell you the truth, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I tell you that if 2 of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where 2 or 3 come together in my name, there I am with them. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to 7 times? Jesus answered, "I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay everything back.' The servant's master took pity on him and canceled the debt and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell on his knees and begged, "Be patient with me, and I will pay you back." But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told the master everything that had happened. The master came and called the servant in. "You wicked servant," he said, "I canceled all your debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have the same mercy on your fellow servant, just as I had on you?" In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he could pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. What a great lesson. I won't repeat or reread those 13 or 14 verses, but Jesus came to live and to die and to come again for the forgiveness of our sins. And how many of us, me included, hold hostilities or bad thoughts about people that have wronged us? We are called to forgive before we can be forgiven. What a great lesson here. That's a great, great parable and teaching from Jesus about the unforgiving debtor. Thank you, Lord. Chapter 19. When Jesus had finished saying these things, he left Galilee and went into the region of Judea on the other side of the Jordan. Large crowds followed him, and he healed them there. Some Pharisees came to test him. They asked, "Is it unlawful for a man to divorce his wife, or for any other reason?" "Haven't you read," he replied, "at the beginning, the Creator made them male and female, and he said, 'For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh.' So they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate." "Why then," they asked, "did Moses command that a man give his wife a certificate of divorce and send her away?" Jesus replied, "Moses permitted you to divorce your wives because your hearts were hard. But it is not this way from the beginning. I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife except for the marital unfaithfulness and marries another woman commits adultery." The disciples said to him, "If this is the situation between husband and wife, is it better not to marry?" Jesus replied, "Not everyone can accept this word, but only those to whom it has been given. For some are eunuchs because they were born that way, others were made that way by men, and others have renounced marriage because of the kingdom of heaven. The one who can accept this should accept it." Then little children were brought to Jesus for him to place on his hands, for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." When he had placed his hands on them, he went on from there. Now a man came up to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to inherit eternal life?" Why do you ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied, "There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, obey the commandments." "Which ones?" the man inquired. Jesus replied, "Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Honor your father and your mother, and love your neighbor as yourself." "All these I have kept," the young man said. "What do I still lack?" Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go, sell the possessions and give them to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "I tell you the truth, it is harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." I will repeat that. With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Please believe that. Please know that with God, all things are possible. Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, at the renewal of all things, the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne. You who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much as and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first." chapter 20. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into the vineyard. About the third hour, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. He went out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did the same thing. About the 11th hour, he went out and still found others standing around. He asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day doing nothing?" "Because no one has hired us," they answered. He said to them, "You also go and work in my vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first." The workers who were hired about the 11th hour came and each received a denarius. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more, but each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. "These men who were hired last worked only about an hour," they said, "and you have paid them equal to us, who have borne the burden of all the work in the heat of the day." But he answered one of them, "Friend, I am not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the man who was hired last the same as I gave you. But don't I have the right to do that with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. Now, as Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside and said to them, "We are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will be turned over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. On the third day, he will be raised to life." Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus and her sons, and kneeling down, asked one favor. "What is it you want?" he asked. She said, "Grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right hand and the other at your left in your kingdom." "You don't know what you're asking," Jesus said to them. "Can you drink the cup that I am going to drink?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right hand or my left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared for by my Father." When the 10 heard this, they were indignant with the two brothers. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you, you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." As Jesus and his disciples were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him. Two blind men were sitting on the roadside, and they heard that Jesus was going by. They shouted, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." The crowd rebuked them and told them to be quiet, but they shouted all the louder, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." Jesus stopped and called them. "What do you want from me?" he asked. "Lord," they answered, "we want our sight." Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Immediately they received their sight and followed him. Well, that is our time today. We've finished through chapter 20 of Matthew, and greatly appreciate you making time this day to join us. My name is Jim DeJunis. I've been reading to you for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of our program is intended for the blind and print impaired. If you have any questions or comments, we'd love to hear from you. Please call 919-832-5138. Peace, and may God bless you this day and every day. God's peace.